That's not the end of our prayer. You notice in your bulletins there's an insert. It's called Colossians Prayer for You. And what I'd like us to do is open in prayer together with this prayer. So please find that insert and keep that handy because we're going to be looking at that during my message today. So let us pray. Continuing. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you might live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. One of my favorite prayers in the Bible, and I don't know about you, but a lot of times what I do is I go through the Bible, and if there are particular prayers that I'm drawn to, whether it's in Colossians or some great prayers in Ephesians as well, and throughout the Psalms, the Our Father, I'll go ahead and make those prayers my own. And by the way, you have permission to do that as well. Some of you have done that, some of you haven't. But as you have this insert here today, I would hope that it won't end up in the garbage can or maybe in the pews. But I really invite you to take this home with you and join me in praying this over this coming week, maybe in the morning and or the evening or both. And what I found is that as I pray a prayer like this over a period of time, that prayer becomes a part of my heart, and that prayer changes me. And so I invite you along with me on that journey of being open to this prayer from Colossians. Over the next few weeks, I'm going to have a series on Colossians, and I'm starting here. You'll notice in your bulletin there are some of the opening sentences in Colossians that Paul wrote to the church there. They are words of encouragement. They are words of thanksgiving. And then he comes into this prayer for the church there in lifting them up. And one of the interesting things about this prayer that you'll notice is that it comes out of a heart that is full of joy and thanksgiving for them. Paul loves the church. Paul loves the people of God. And it's out of that heart that he lifts them up and he prays for them. And he does that at the very beginning of his letter to them. And so it says in verse 9 here in your insert, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you." What a wonderful thing to hear from your spiritual leader, from an apostle, that as Paul has heard of their thanksgiving and heard of their faith and their faithfulness to God, that he has not stopped praying for them. And I hope that this is an encouragement to you, and I know it's an encouragement to me, that one of the most important things that you and I can do in relationship to someone else or maybe a group of people is to pray for them, to lift them up. And I just want to be an encouragement to you here today. Just remember about the prayers that you have prayed that have been answered. You have had prayers that have been answered. Now, I also want to acknowledge that you've had prayers that you haven't been that haven't been answered for you. I know there are some people who have been praying about some things. They haven't had that prayer answered, and they're deeply disappointed in God because of that. Some people I know have stopped praying to God because of that and have stopped going to church. They've been deeply broken because of the prayer that wasn't answered for them. And you know people like that as well. But don't be one of those people. Because one of the things I found in my life is that just about the time I want to quit, there's a bend in the road. And as I pray just a little bit more and don't give up by God's grace, there inevitably is a breakthrough. There are some things that I prayed for, and I'm telling you, 5 seconds, it's like that. It happens by God's grace. Yet there are other things I've been praying for 30 years. Still hasn't happened. It may never happen, but I'm still praying about it. And so I want to encourage you, one of the greatest things you and I can do, and one of the things that we're called to be, are a people of prayer. That's what God said about this temple, didn't he? That's what Jesus said, that my house will be called a house of prayer. It's a place of connection with God, not just one way arrows up to God about what we want, but it's a place of connection with God and communion with him that affects everyone and everything, beginning with us and in the world that's around us as well. Look what they pray for. Next sentence there. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. So at the very beginning, what Paul begins to pray for the Colossians is that they would know what God's will is for their lives. Now, I find this very interesting. This morning before this message, I was thinking about the Our Father. And that's a prayer that we'll all pray in just a few moments. You remember the Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then the next part of the prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus, at the very beginning of the prayer, asks for the will of the Father to be done. Paul, at the very beginning of this prayer, also prays for the Colossians that they would have the grace to ask for the will of God to be done in their lives. Now, think about your prayer. Is that how you pray? I know for a fact that's how many of us don't pray. God for us is like that big vending machine in the sky or that slot at Vegas that we keep feeding coins into in the hope that we're going to hit the jackpot, right? And we let God know all of what we want. And God better answer that prayer. We're going to be upset with God, right? God's going to be put in time out. I actually knew a woman who got so upset with God, she had a statue of Jesus or something, and she turned him around and put him in the corner in time out toward the wall. So you might not want to do that to the Lord. You know, it might not work out for you doing that. That's how strong she felt about it. But you know, a lot of times that's how we treat God. We treat God as if God is here to give us exactly what we want instead of providing for us exactly what we need. And the most important thing that you and I need to grow into is to pray for what the will of the Father is. You know, you remember the life of Jesus. He says, I'm about the work of the Father. My meat is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And so we see in the example of Jesus, we see in the example of the Apostle Paul, that their heartbeat was what God wanted them to do. And guess what? As our heartbeat becomes that, as we are centered in on what God's will is for our lives and what God's will is for around us, guess what's going to happen? Your prayer answer ratio is just going to go through the roof. Because you're going to be praying according to the will of God. And if you're praying according to the will of God, it's going to happen. It's just a done deal. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. And so they are asking that the Colossians would be filled with the knowledge of his will, what God's will is, through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. So how can you and I begin to enter into a knowledge of what God's will is for our lives? By the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that can reveal to us perfectly what God's will is for us through wisdom and understanding. There's a wisdom about knowing about what God would have us do. Have you ever been in a place in your life where you're just not quite sure what to do? Where you're perplexed? Where maybe you have a hard time making a decision between A and B? There's a fork in the road and you don't know which fork to take? All of us have been in that place at one time or another in our lives. And let me just suggest that maybe the best thing that you and I can do in that moment is to bend a knee and say, I don't know what to do. One of my favorite prayers at that point is, God, help. That's my favorite prayer, especially in the midst of an emergency. It's not long. It's simply, God, help. And if you have a little bit more time, ask the Spirit to give you wisdom and understanding about what to do. Maybe the wisdom of the Spirit is to wait. One of my favorite words. Maybe the wisdom of the Spirit is to do the hard thing. And to say something you really don't want to say, but it needs to be said. Maybe the wisdom of the Spirit is to speak the truth in love and to be encouraging and just long-suffering with that person. But you see, as you and I seek the Holy Spirit in the midst of that situation, we'll have a knowledge of what God's will is and then begin to accomplish that perfectly. Now, there's another thing we need to talk about in regard to God's will. Let's just be honest, and I'll just speak for myself, but I realize I'm speaking for many of you. You know what, Father Joe, if I have to be honest about it, I really don't want God's will. I want what I want, right? I want what I want, and I know what I want. And I think what I want is pretty good. I think actually if I get what I want, God can kind of go along with it and it'll be okay. Right? No, it's not okay. And that's one of the reasons why a lot of us, there are certain prayers and certain things in our life that aren't happening yet. And that won't happen yet until we surrender to what God's will is in our life in regards to maybe a sin that we're struggling with, that he's calling us into holiness and to no longer do that. In regards to mercy, he's calling us to walk in relationship to a certain person and we won't forgive them yet. In regards to being open to a supernatural gift that God wants to give us and being open to being bold about that and praying for somebody maybe who needs healing. But Lord, I've never done that before. Maybe making a step of faith in a direction that's very difficult for us, and yet we know in the depth of our heart, God is calling us to step out. God is not going to move. God is waiting for you to follow him. That's why we call him God. And that's why during this service we will bend the knee as a physical picture of the reality of our relationship with the Almighty. And we give thanks to God for that. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Verse 10, look at verse 10 in your insert. There's a reason why Paul begins to pray this way at the very beginning of Colossians. Notice at the beginning of verse 10, so that, aha! There's a reason why Paul's praying this way. There's a purpose to that, and that's the reason why he says, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. Now, one of the great gifts that God has given you and I is the gift of our life. He gives us a choice about how we're going to live that life. In fact, there are people who go through their entire existence on the planet in complete rebellion against God, and God allows them to do that. It breaks God's heart. People who live that way throughout their human existence will spend eternity apart from God because of their choice, unfortunately. But God gives people that kind of freedom. And the freedom that you and I have is to live a life that is worthy of the Lord and pleasing to him. Now, there's a lot of latitude for you and I. You can live your life out as a believer however you choose. God gives you that freedom, complete freedom. But also, God is giving you the invitation through me, and I believe he's already been giving the invitation to you through the Holy Spirit to follow him. To live a life that is worthy of him and pleasing to him. That is the invitation that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to each one of us. And so the truth for you and me is that as much as we enjoy this human existence, and as much as we have been blessed with so many different things, guess what? You are called a Christian for a reason. It's because you're a believer. And it's because your life upon this earth should look different from everybody else around you who is not a believer. If everybody is looking at the church, the Christian church, and they don't see any difference between you and them, there's something desperately wrong. There should be an incredible difference between us and the world, and it should be in the areas of an incredible love, an incredible relationship with Jesus Christ. A mercy that never ends. Healing and signs and wonders that can only be explained by the Lord God Almighty. And lives that are transformed and infectious and excited to share him and the power of his Spirit with each person they meet. That's what a life worthy of the Lord and pleasing to him looks like. And there are some other visuals for what that looks like right below this verse. You'll notice in verse 10. What does a life worthy of the Lord and pleasing to him look like? Bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. And so as you and I are connected to Jesus Christ and the life of the Spirit, what's going to happen is we're going to be fruitful. Guess what? Your life's going to be fruitful anyways. If you're connected to darkness, you're going to bear the fruit of darkness. We see it all over the world right now. We see it happening even in our own lives from time to time. It's called sin. It's called darkness. If you also are connected to the light, what happens is you're going to bear the fruit of the light. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control. Against such there is no law. This is the fruitfulness that will happen in our lives naturally. If I go berry picking in West Virginia at the strip mines and I go to a blackberry bush, I'm expecting to find blackberries on that bush, not strawberries. It's a no-brainer. When my grandma sent me up to the strip mines to get the blackberries for the blackberry pie she'd make later on, I bring home some blackberries to her because I knew where the blackberry bushes were. God's looking for fruit out of your life. Fruit, great fruit, bearing fruit in every good work. As you reach out in goodness and love to other people, there's a fruit that comes from that. There's a blessing that comes from that. You've seen it in the smile on their faces. You've seen it in the ways that their hearts have been touched. And in the same way as you maybe walk in darkness sometimes and sin, you've had an experience of the bad fruit too, haven't you? We're called to bear fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Growing in the knowledge of God, not only by reading his word and contemplating it and praying and all those things, but as you and I bear good fruit through the good works that we do, we're also growing in the knowledge of what it is to be in relationship with God. You know, as we walk in the goodness of God, as we bear the fruit of the Spirit, I don't know about you, but I actually find it joyful. I actually find that enjoyable. And I don't know about you, but when I end up going back to that sin I've been doing it for a while, guess what? I feel bad about it. Anybody have that feeling? I feel convicted. I feel like, you know what, Joe, you shouldn't be doing that for the 100th time. Turn away from that thing and follow me. And so you see, we grow in the knowledge of God. We grow in the knowledge of God that as we walk in his Spirit and bear good fruit, it is pleasing to God. We are blessed by his Holy Spirit. There is peace and joy and love that breaks forth in our heart. And that is part of growing in the knowledge of God. Have you ever had somebody say to you, boy, that was really great what you did. You did the right thing. That was exactly what I was looking for you to do. Whether it was something maybe on an athletic field or maybe it was a paper that you worked on. And somebody came alongside you and said, that is awesome what you did. I think that's tremendous work. Guess what that is? That's what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. As we walk in the Spirit of God and produce good fruit, the Holy Spirit is saying to us, good job. You're joyful for a reason. You're happy for a reason. You feel great about this. People are being blessed for a reason. And you're growing in the knowledge of God. You're growing in the knowledge of what pleases him. At what it means to live a life worthy of the Lord. And guess what? As we walk in that, we're going to be blessed. You're going to feel blessed. You're going to feel loved. The energy and the atmosphere is going to change around you. Now, verse 11, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience. Endurance and patience. I don't like those words. I do not like those words. I like things to be easy. I like it to get done quick. I don't want to have to climb a mountain. I don't want to have to go through a valley. I want it all to be easy, easy in the pie. I don't want to have to struggle. And yet the reality for you and me is as we grow in the Christian life, there are trials that come our way, don't they? And as we go through one trial and we are able to overcome it by God's grace, guess what? There's another trial coming. Say it isn't so, it is so. And that's going to be even more of a trial and more of a struggle. And then once you get through that, guess what? Yeah, there's another trial coming. There's another mountain on your range that'll be even bigger and higher and more challenging. And yet through all of it, you are growing in the grace and knowledge and your relationship with Jesus Christ. And you see, one of the things we learn as we are on this journey is we can't do it in our own power. You cannot do it in your own strength. That's the purpose of the lesson. The purpose of the lesson is to finally get through that thick skull of yours and to let you know you cannot do it without me, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. It's not, I did it my way. That's not the song we're going to hear in heaven by Frank Sinatra. That is not the theme song of heaven, I did it my way. It's going to be, I did it his way. I did it by his glorious might, through his power and his grace and his struggle. I admit, I might have been crawling along some paths. There might have been places where there was only one set of footprints because he was carrying me. But I had great endurance and patience by the grace of God. And then in closing, verse 12, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. Paul ends with joy. Joyful thanks to God. Do your prayers end with joy? I don't know. I don't see too many smiles on these faces right now. Do your prayers end with joy? Are you giving thanks to God for what he's doing in your life? Are you giving thanks that God has heard your prayer and God's going to move on your behalf? Maybe the reason why you're not in joy at the end of your prayer is you're not really believing that God's going to do something. And my question to you is then, why are you praying? You're wasting your time. Go do something else until you're at a place in prayer that you actually believe God's going to answer your prayer. That's why Paul could say in giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. Give thanks to God. Be joyful to God because God hears your prayers. Oh, you're not going to get everything that you want. Everything's not going to work out the way you and I would like it to do. There'll be struggles and suffering and hard times in our lives. But overall, we have a glory to look forward to. There is a heaven that we're going to. And not just in eternity, but here right now. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And as you and I walk in the kingdom of God right now, there will be a heaven that will be birthed around us, a heaven of love, a heaven of grace, a heaven of miracles, a heaven where people are coming to Jesus Christ, being filled with the Holy Spirit and empowered to be his witnesses in this moment. So we're going to pray this prayer again. And as we pray this prayer again, I ask you to pray this prayer with a heart that believes it. I ask you to pray this prayer with a heart of feeling. I ask you to pray this prayer from your gut, from the very depth of who you are, and do it with a sense of reality that you are connecting with the living God. And God is hearing you, and God is going to answer this prayer because God is going to do exactly that. Let us pray. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. And all of God's people said, Amen.